Blog Talk Radio.
Hi everyone, this is your girl T with Take 411 Podcast. For those that don't know, Take 411 Podcast is a part of Another Chance Global Media. Welcome to Season 2. This season, we want to get more personal with our listeners. We have riveting stories, prison news and updates, as well as real talk conversations that you do not want to miss. Take 411, y'all. Pull up a chair.
And we are live. Good afternoon, everyone. Thank you for listening. This is T Sizzle, aka Tawanda, with Take 411. And this is a podcast that we do for prisoners, families, loved ones. We want to always share news, information, give out resources, and we want to make sure that we continue to hold down our loved ones that's on the inside. Today we're having an open discussion, and we have invited some family and friends and loved ones to be able to join in. We want to work on getting better when it comes to getting the word out, communication, and making sure that everyone knows what's happening, what's not happening, and where you can find things that's actually happening. So this is going to be an open dialogue today, just so we can kind of be able to build and share as we continue to move forward. I see I have one person that's already joined from the 478. If you don't mind, state your name and actually the state you're calling from.
My name is Latrenda Hughley, and I'm calling from Georgia.
Okay, awesome. Thank you so much for dialing in. Now, do you have a loved one that's incarcerated, or what is your connection to anyone that may be in the prison system?
My brother is incarcerated.
Okay. Well, thank you so much for dialing in today. Now, may I ask, how long has your brother been in prison?
30 years.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. That's definitely a long time. We're going to do some introductions at first, and then we're going to come back and just kind of talk to each person that's open to share what your journey is like. We're going to also talk about our Till Freedom campaign and what that actually means. So thank you so much for tuning in from the state of Georgia. And I'm going to come back to you in just a second and get a little information, and we're going to kind of talk about 30 years. Is that okay?
It's okay.
Absolutely. Thank you so much. And again, this is Tawanda. You call me T Sizzle because we are on podcast live, and we have someone calling in from the 202 area code. If you don't mind, state your name and the state you're calling from. And I always say state because just because you have a certain area code does not always mean the person's in that state. That's what all those smart aleck people out there saying, hey, you said 202, it means D.C. Well, not all the time, okay? Thank you. All right, 202, talk to it.
My name's Wanda Thompson. I am calling from the District of Columbia.
I kind of felt you were. How you doing,
that's
Wanda
right.
Thompson?
I'm good. How y'all
all
doing?
Right, so doing good. I'm doing good. And how about you're tuning in from D.C. Are you calling on behalf of someone that's incarcerated? Do you know? Are you an advocate? Give us a little information about that.
I'm calling on the behalf of my son, who's doing 63 years, and he's been there since he was 22. He'll be 41 this month.
Wow. So he's done about 20 years, and he has a total of 63 years?
Yes. For a murder he didn't commit.
That's a whole nother story. Okay. All right. Well, as we get started today, I wanted to do this podcast because we know that a lot has happened in the last few years. And I want to tell you a little about our company, what we have been doing, and what we're working to get better when it comes to bridging the gap with family, friends, and people in the community. And I'm sure you two ladies can agree, over the last almost 3 years, we've been through some stuff. Can you agree with that?
Yes,
that is true.
and I'm talking about COVID. I know every single day we're always going through something, because as long as we live, we're going to have different situations, different experiences, and different things to actually happen. And on top of all of that, you know, we had to deal with COVID. And since you both have loved ones that's been incarcerated for more than 2 decades almost, and one person said 30 years, you and what you've been going through is a lot different than probably anyone else can speak about, because that's a long time. That's an extremely long time. So we're going to get into it. You know what I'm saying? And one of the things, our company, we want to help be a voice and be able to help bridge the gap between people in prison with family, friends, and people in the community. We want to make sure that as laws change, as there's information, as there's resources, that you can get that information. I know there's so many times where people in prison are on lockdown because of different things happening. Sometimes they're trying to get stuff off of the mail to the courts, and they can't because of lockdowns. And a lot of times families are just not plugged in because things happen and change every single day. So if you don't mind, we'll go back out to 478. Tell us a little bit about the story of your loved one in the last 30 years.
My brother was sentenced in 94, and they did an upward departure on him, but he didn't understand what it was. And when they went to court, the judge was talking about it, and then he told him, asked him, did he know what he was dealing with, rather, and gave them 20 minutes to go and talk about it, and then came back in and sentenced him. Now, as a little boy, he did have sticky fingers, but that's it. He never hurt anyone or anything. When he was locked up, he escaped. And because he made them look crazy, because he escaped from the jail cell directly in where Booking was, they pretty much wanted to use him as a make an example out of him. And over the years, I've hired different lawyers, and every time we get a door closed in our face, they just said that he was used as an example, and no lawyer will really pick it up. And when cases opened up the door for him to go back in the courts and stuff, the appointed lawyers that he have had, they drag their feet until the time run out, and then it still doesn't get, he doesn't get any relief. But he was sentenced to life without parole.
And he's been incarcerated since 1994?
Yes.
Now, what is yes. If you don't mind, because this is a public podcast, what is your brother's name?
His name is Theron Coleman.
Okay. And he's been incarcerated since 1994. Now, are you okay with sharing what his charges are?
Yeah, by all means. He, like I say, he had sticky finger as a little boy. The escape is what gave him some time, and he escaped more than once. And the last time that he escaped, when they got him, it was he was in a room, and a gun was over on the dresser, but it was a BB gun. But they charged him with a felony, you know, convicted felony with a gun, firearm. And so that was it pretty much. The when he did escape, he did approach somebody and said, give me your car. And they gave it to him. You know, I would have just turned over somebody come at me like that, give me your car, you know, carjacking. But most of his charges were dropped. If you look at his deposition, you see drop. So, but that they still did that to him.
Now, in the last 30 years, I'm sorry, go ahead.
Okay. Also, his appointed lawyer 30 years ago, he told us that we could not do anything until he went over to federal. We waited we was like, okay, so he went over to Fed 15 years later. So we was informed that we couldn't file an appeal until Fed came and picked him up. So when Feds came and picked him up, I called that lawyer that had told us that we couldn't do anything else until federal prison came and picked him up from the state prison. And he was like, oh, I remember him. It's been 15 years. They just not going at him? So we went and started filing the appeal within that first year. Then they came back and said that it was too late. So it wasn't the 15th.
So how late were you? Are they saying you were time barred?
We were time barred because his lawyer told us we could not do anything until feds actually came and picked him up. Didn't know that feds were going to take 15 years before they went and picked him up. So because they waited 15 years to go pick him up from the state prison, then it was time barred.
Okay. All right. Now, let me ask you a couple questions outside of the legal ramifications of what's going on. We're talking about 30 years. So I'm sure a lot has happened 30 years. So how has that been? One thing that people don't really realize, when someone's incarcerated, they're in prison. They're doing time. However, the person that loves them, they're doing time too. How has that been for you and your family over the last 30 years?
Over the 30 years, like you said, we have been incarcerated with him. Him being in the state, it was we would go see him constantly because he was right here in Georgia with us. When they put him in federal prison, they sent him to Colorado. He was in Colorado for several years. Then they moved him to Texas, and Texas stayed locked down constantly. We had left Georgia and drove to Texas and got there, and we couldn't see him. So we left and we came back home. Then we went again, but again, same thing. You don't know until you get there. They may be up and functioning, but by the time you get there, they're unlocked. My mom, our mom passed in that process. Our mom went home May 2017. So, you know, he had to deal with that alone. He had to deal with a lot of family members leaving us, moving on, and go through it by himself. But that mom thing, that he was a mama's boy. So, you know, it was very hard.
Okay. All right. Last thing I want to ask you, and we're going to go out to our sister over in D.C. I see I actually got a text message from you back in October. You mentioned that he filed for clemency in 2018. Is that still pending?
It's still pending. It's still pending.
Now, even with COVID and all those things, did you guys update it or anything?
We've
like trying to refile it?
He did refile it, but we did the and the lawyer he has now was trying to do a compassionate release, but she haven't been communicating with him, and I find out stuff on Pacer and have to share it with him that way. So a lot of, you know, lack of communication on that end.
Okay, that sounds about right, unfortunately. Okay. All right, we definitely want to continue to talk about that. And that's the thing, again, a lot of people don't realize. Now, when you mentioned that your brother has sticky fingers, you know, nobody's here to judge. Our company believes that people deserve another chance. But the last thing I want to ask you before we go out to our sister in D.C. is, over the last 30 years, is he the same person? What has changed about him?
No, he is not. He has not been that person in over 20 years. And, you know, one of my mom's prayer is that, you know, when the doors open up, only open up when he has changed. And probably about right before the feds went at him, they had called, the state office had called and said, could he come home? And my mom went to yelling and screaming and praising God and everything. And then that happened. They did go ahead and go get him. So we were thinking that things were all said and done and that, you know, everything was going to be okay, but it wasn't. And he's been in, since he's been in federal, he's been there, I think, 11 years, maybe 12 years, and haven't had a write-up at all. He mentors people. He ministers to people. We have character letters from the officers in the prison, a lot of people in the institution where he's at have written character letters on his behalf. He has people here out in Georgia that is waiting and have a job waiting on him. He has housing. Everything is in place. However, they want to hold on to who he was over 30 years ago. And not, you know.
And that happens all the time.
14th. December 14th of last year, we even got a letter from the judge stating that it didn't matter what he had done, how he had changed, that he would never let him out.
And that's something to think about. And we know, especially in the state of Georgia, and I know not just Georgia, a lot of other states, I don't sit here to make an excuse for anyone. But one thing that you said is, hey, this has been almost 30 years, and people do change over a period of time. And look at 30 years, and I'm not talking about someone just saying, oh, I've changed. I'm talking about action, because action speaks much louder than words to get those letters and different things. So that's definitely something to think about, and I'm sure you know that you're not the only person that's dealing with a situation like that. And not to lessen what you're going through at all, just to show as an example that this struggle is real, and too many people are actually dealing with it. And we want to talk about today, as we come back to you, like, what are some solutions? Like, what is it that we can do as a people to be supportive, to be encouraging, to share information, to share resources, and to look at this man as not who he was, but who he has become over the last three decades. So let's go out to our sister in D.C. Tell us a little bit about the journey and what you've been going through with your little one that's incarcerated.
What happened was,
if you don't mind, tell us what the person's name is.
My son's name is Franklin Thompson.
Okay.
And he got incarcerated for a murder of a child. She was a teenager. He was a co-defendant. And they was on the stand lying. They was caught lying. And he's in jail for not snitching. Okay?
Okay.
When he went in, this happened in 04, 06, I had a massive stroke. He couldn't get no visits when he was in a D.C. jail. No contact at all. Mail, nothing. Then they sent him out to the feds. It took 15 years for me to see my son when he was in West Virginia. And I was a ride and a half, just, you know, me being, you know, paralyzed on one side, but it was worth it, you know. He's had COVID, and his cellie actually died, but my son didn't, you know.
Because of COVID?
Because they didn't take care of him. So, you know, for me, it's always a constant worry, you know. And they stay on lockdown all the time.
Now, where is he incarcerated at?
He's in Colorado right now.
Okay.
Yeah, they stay locked down, too.
Yeah, and I know a lot of prisons haven't even had visits in a very long time, and I understand the precautions because of COVID. But someone that wrote a blog a few weeks ago is asking, is it really COVID or is it really control? And it's probably more control than COVID-related.
Exactly.
Yeah. They should be able to do. I'm sorry.
Go ahead, babe.
If they're not going to let us physically come and visit, seem like they would incorporate the video calls. So
and you know what? A lot of prisons got tablets, but they don't have the video chat on them. And it's probably going to be years before that. And I know a lot of female prisons, they've had the video visits for a long time, but a lot of the penitentiaries, again, they're getting the tablets now as we speak. One person told me that they ordered only 200 for a prison of about 1,200 people and said the first people that wouldn't get them were people that were, that had jobs. And they were wondering, why in the world would they order 200? And that causes issues. Look, if you had a penitentiary and you got 1,200 people and you'll have 200 tablets, the 200 that have tablets are going to become probably victimized because someone's going to want it. Somebody's going to take what you got because they want it. So I don't know why they would do that. Well, of course, we know why they would do that, but that just caused a whole another problem. Now, over the last 20 years since your loved one has been incarcerated, what has it been like for you?
Well, my health has declined, and my son keeps telling me, Ma, take care of yourself. But he left when he got incarcerated. He had three young children. they all adults now, and he's trying to be a father from a penitentiary. And he had just experienced less than two, it's been 2 years, his only son got shot 17 times, you know, and I wasn't able to get the message to him. Mm. No matter, every time I would call, like, the warden, leave messages, nobody would return my call. And at the time, we had text messages. Text service, but because they're on lockdown, he couldn't get his text messages.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so I'm being grandma, mama, and everything else. And it's
as
just
usual.
Me down. Huh?
That's understood. No, I said as usual. As usual,
yeah.
We're wearing a lot of hats.
Yeah,
you know. As we talk today in people are listening. I remember years ago, before podcasts were so important, we were doing something called conference calls. Not sure if you guys remember
mm-hmm.
that or not. But
yeah.
I remember this lady called in. Okay, because I know that's been a long time. I remember a lady called into our podcast, and she said, well, someone sent me this information to dial in. I don't know why, because I'm not a criminal. I don't know anyone in prison. I don't deal with criminals. And she said, I'm a professional, and so on. And I always tell this story a lot of times. And what I said to her is, you may not think this involves you because you're not, quote, unquote, a criminal, and you may not even know anyone that's incarcerated, and that's good. But this affects everybody. Incarceration,
mm-hmm.
mass incarceration affects everyone, because anyone can be one step from being kidnapped or car accident, where you kill someone, abducted, somebody you know that's abducted. Like, crime is real. Prison is real. This affects us
mm-hmm.
all. And even if it doesn't affect us directly, it could affect someone that we work with, someone that we know, someone that we love. And we want to still pray for people, that even people we don't even know. So I said that to say,
mm-hmm.
as we're on here today, ladies, and we'll go back to 478 first, what would you like to share with the world about your loved one, about your struggle, about what you're going through? Because most people don't have a clue. Most people don't understand. So what is it that you would like to share? Because the floor is yours right now.
It everybody makes mistakes, but we can't hold those things against them. Give them another chance. We need to give some of them another chance. And especially those that have been sentenced, like my brother has, and how the young lady on the other line have also. It's not fair. And I think they give us, our black men, so much time. But if a Caucasian does it, then they don't do them that way, and it's not right. I'm pretty much the only connection my brother has. He has a son. They have a relationship, but I am the glue that's holding all of this together right now. And I'm trying to teach my children, if something happens to me, do not leave him in there. Don't let him think that he's alone. Be there for
that's
him.
Right.
I'm not looking for nothing
right.
to happen to me. However, I still have to prepare my children to know what they need to do for their uncle in the event should something happen. But I think
absolutely.
He, along with a lot of others, needs help from somewhere. You know, we're looking for the right person to come along that can help us. Like I said, I've hired people. I've hired a lawyer. No sooner than the ink dried on the check, he was calling me back saying he can't do it. So he had
mm-hmm.
just enough time to look into something. I don't know what
mm.
he found, but he would not share it with us. But he just said, I can't do it. So, but he was all
and how long before it took him to return your money back?
He gave me the check right back. I just had to go back and get it. But he
okay.
said, I can't do it. And I've had another, over the years, over the 30 years that my brother has been gone, I think I've been through maybe 4 lawyers. And the last two that, like when Johnson came available, they were saying that he should have gotten some relief with that. Those lawyers, they dragged their feet. They did not try to help him. He tried to voice his opinion. It was as if because he's incarcerated, he didn't have a voice. And they're going to do it the way that they want to do it. But then they're not listening to him. So I had to try to speak. But I don't know that language. But I had to do the best that I could. So, you know, I, any kind of help that we as family members can get for our loved ones that's on the other side, you know, we greatly appreciate it. And thank you so much for doing this podcast because people need to know.
Yeah, people definitely need to know, and people need help. And, you know, like I said earlier, a lot of times people have changed, you know, over 2 decades, over 3 decades, people make mistakes. You know, and you mentioned earlier about how the justice system is, you know, unfortunately, and I sent a podcast, a blog about this the other day, the way that they have it designed is to lock someone up and never let them go. And never let them go. You know, the thing people have to also realize is listening to us right now, that person that's incarcerated, somebody loved them. You may not know them.
Yeah.
You may not love them, but somebody loved them.
Mm-hmm.
And we're just asking for a fair chance. And I understand people say, hey, what really is fair? But we talk about the justice system, equal justice under law. What does that really even mean? And how about you, ma'am, over in D.C.? Like, what would you want the world to know as people are listening? And we'll listen to our podcast.
I would want the world to know that I am a single mother and I don't have the finance like the other lady does to get my son lawyers. You know, it's a program called Second Chance, you know, and he's been sending letters and so far nothing. And I get angry and depressed when I think about my child being in there. You know, there's only so much I can do in a wheelchair, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So he has younger brothers, but, you know, they got their family. They love him, but, you know, they have to try to keep their kids intact, you know.
That's true.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm like,
you know,
really his backbone, his only backbone. And like I said, my health is deteriorating. So I try not to, you know, worry as much. You know, I do a lot of praying now, you know, and just asking God, you know, just to keep his hedge of protection over him and, you know, and the others.
Yes,
because my child, believe it or not, he's never been a bad child. He's always been hard-headed, but valid, no. He would take his coat off his back and give it to you, you know. And people know that here. And instead of just speaking up, they didn't, you know. Because when the system wants you, they want you. They find any loophole to hold you, you know. So that's all I'm really angry about. See, I'm trying not to cry because it hurts. It hurts me so bad when I see my black men or people, period, locked up like an animal, and they have to conform to that because they have no other way, you know, being talked to, being, you know, treated less than a human being, you know. Everybody should have dignity and respect. They say that, but it's not true. It's not being done, you know. So I just continue to pray for our families, you know, people that's incarcerated, that, you know, God will open the door, you know, because he's the ultimate forgiver. If he forgave them, we should too.
So
we
true.
Should too. You know, but that's not
so very true.
That's not reality. That's not reality. You know. And
one
so
of the things
that,
I'm sorry, go ahead.
I'm just so happy my son texted me this information. He said, Mom, make sure you get on it.
Well,
and
I'm so glad that
you
did. And what I want to explain to you, what we're doing before the new year comes in, every year, you know, a lot of times we think about when the new year comes in, what the new year's resolution is going to be, et cetera, et cetera. What we want to get better at that we're working on now is the communication with the world, allowing people in the world, regardless of where you are, especially now since we have all this technology, to know what families are going through, what your loved ones are going through, what their case is about. I was telling someone yesterday, there's a guy that was incarcerated for 3 decades in the federal prison, and he was telling me over the last 7, 8 years, Tawanda, I didn't do it. I was set up by the FBI agent. And, of course, no one believes a black man with a long rap sheet that an FBI agent, a trained professional, did something illegal or unethical. Well, after he was told me that for years and years and years, and I'm telling this story and I'm going to be blogging about it too, guess what? The FBI agent that he was accusing for over 3 decades got caught up in another case to where he did something unethical. And, of course, you know, when you do something like that, they go through everything that you've done in your entirety. And when they did, they got to this guy's case that I'm talking about, and the guy's from D.C., as a matter of fact, and they found out that what he was screaming for 30 years, he was telling the truth. And they took him out of the federal prison because he's going through, like, this all this process, and I haven't heard from him since. So I'm looking for him. I'm like, oh, God. But so much happens. You just don't know. But we want the world to know. We want the world to know about your loved ones, what their situation is, and what type of help and support you need, because we truly have to be in this together. I know people say all lives matter, our prison lives matter. Well, action speaks louder than words as well. So what we're going to do is make sure that I get you guys information, and I actually have it on the text so we can see how we can talk one-on-one and see what actually needs to be put in place. Like you mentioned about paying this person or looking for resources, sometimes you have to go to the media as well. There's a lot of people right now that's trying their case in the media because they can't get an attorney or because, you know, the judge is not going to be fair or whatever that situation is. We can't leave any stones unturned. And there's so many people that's in prison right now to where they don't have any loved ones. Everybody's died. It's been 20 years, it's been 30 years. So then you get your surrogate family, your wraparound services of people who really are care and that are advocates that want to help. You understand what I'm saying? So you're not by yourself. You just got to meet your other sister, brother, friend, cousin, or acquaintance so we can get to work. Does that make sense?
Well, we're looking. We would gladly appreciate any of you to reach out to us.
Absolutely, absolutely. Well, that's definitely what we're going to do. And what we want anyone listening, we want them to be able to follow this story. And so I'm going to get the information from you about your loved ones, about their case, about how people can write them, pray for them, maybe send them a donation, you know, so they'll know, you know, because the other thing is think about this. Think about what happens when you change and you're a different person and you're trying and you're trying and you're trying and the door keeps getting slammed in your face. It makes you angry.
Mm-hmm.
I have met so many people in prison, and they said, you know what, I gave up hope. And it breaks my heart. It breaks my heart. So the system kills prisoners' hope. They try because one person can only hold on for so much. But when you try for 10 years, 12 years, 15 years, 20 years, just imagine that. Think about it. Ladies, let me ask you a question. Can you ever think about a time in life where you wanted something so bad or you thought you were going to get something or you were excited about something and someone came by and killed your hope because of what they did or what they said or what you didn't get? Have you ever even felt that way before? Have you ever? How'd you feel?
Man, I should forget it. Every time I try to get kicked back down, you know.
And how many times are you going to be getting kicked in the face?
Yeah. You know, so.
Absolutely.
Well, we want to keep, I try to, keep encouraging him, even though.
Yeah.
I be weak. He think his mama still strong, you know.
I be weak,
you know. I don't tell him a lot of stuff. He be like, Mom, please stop that. You tell me when something's wrong, you know.
Yeah.
But
we have to
I don't
put
want
our brave
to be
face
in there
so
worried.
They won't worry.
Yeah,
that's
the first time I went to go see him, he said to me, he said what he was so sad when he went back because he seen me in a wheelchair and that he wasn't out here to help me, you know? That killed me, you know, because my son loves his mother. He loves his family.
Of course he does.
You know, we're like, bro, we're just 15 years apart, but he knows I'm mom. He don't dis. He never disrespect me, you know? He don't call me by my name, Wanda.
I got to say this because I hear you and I feel you, and sometimes you have that family member that no matter what, that mama, that sister, that cousin, that child, mm-hmm. no, they're with you regardless. And you two ladies have been with someone for 20 years, 30 years. I commend you. Bless you. And I definitely am praying for you because, of course, I'm sure your loved ones, they think you're superwomen. And you are, in a sense. But you're still human. And you're still living yeah. every day. And you're still going through the struggle. And they have no clue what you've been through and what you're going through. But guess what? You still put the best on the outside so you can give them hope to be able to live another day. And they do the same for you, too.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why we have to be in this together, because the struggle is really real. And there's so many people that has lost the fight and so many more that's still going to lose the fight. But there's some that's going to win also.
Yeah.
Think about that. There's some that's going to win also. And I know that you're not the same that you used to be. You can't get around. You can't do all the things. So that's why you got to build relationships so people can do the things that you can't do, because one person can't do everything. Does that make sense?
Yes, it does.
Now, do you guys know, like, if you had to list, like, what does your loved one need to be able to get some type of relief, to be able to get to the next day? What are some things, as people are listening, are we going to put out, when we post this, their names and their addresses, how people can write them, if they have text service, text them, send them a donation, anything. Is there any additional things as you guys are fighting for their life? And this is their life. Their freedom is their life. Are there any additional things that that they need? We'll start with you, Ms. Georgia.
We just need someone to be there to listen, to give us a hand as far as to fight this fight that we're in, to try to get somebody to see the how his sentence was wrong. If he was sentenced today, he would have done his time and then some. Don't hold it against them for so long. Let them do their time and let them come on home to live their days with their loved ones. Just help in any kind of way would be greatly appreciated.
Absolutely. And how about you, ma'am?
I really don't. I just want somebody to help my son, you know, as far as getting him to an attorney that would take his case, you know, and just keep encouraging him, let him know he's not alone, and that I'm not the only one that's rooting for him, you know. People change, you know. And it's
one thing
not,
that
like
I
want to.
No, go ahead.
Like you said, you know, it affects people directly and indirectly, you know.
Mhm.
And it affects me directly and indirectly because I got other people that I know that's going through the struggle. So,
that's right.
That's about
one thing. One thing I want to say before we close out, and I will definitely follow up with you guys after our show for some specifics, but we want to make sure before we're hiring anyone in reference to legal cases, legal representation, and so on and so forth, and even a lot of guys in prison, they're notorious for trying to hire investigators. People will charge you an arm and a leg, and then you'll be looking crazy because nothing ever happened. So one of the very first things you want to make sure that you do, and this is going to be hard for a lot of people because I know everyone's not legally inclined, but you want to be able to have a thorough review done of your case. You want to know what is the case, what's working, what's not working. You want to be able to have that docket sheet to look at everything that's been ever filed in these cases. A lot of times I've met people over the last 15 years, and they're looking for legal help, but they have no idea what kind of legal help they're looking for. They're hiring an attorney $10,000, $20,000, $30,000, $40,000 to do a 2255, but they already had that done already. They exhausted those.
Right.
You know, you need to be able to find out. Some people have been, they've hired so many different people. Families have spent money. They have mortgaged houses trying to get their person out of prison, but they never knew what anyone did that's worked on their case. Education is important, and that's another thing that we help people with, understanding where you are with your legal standing. Where are you with the case? Did you go to trial? How long was the trial? You know, who still has the transcripts? What's been filed on the case? You know, are there anything out right now that can help them benefit for getting some time off? You know, what are their options? Those are the type of things that we need to know. We need to have that because guess what? 20 years later, 30 years later, most people don't even have their paperwork. They thought they would have been home by now. Are they sent it home somewhere? Or they got transferred and they never got it? Are they sent it home and people lost it? But guess what? Until they're free, you got to keep all that stuff. I cannot express the importance of doing that. And I want to be able to give you guys some resources so you'll know that you're not by yourself. We're on this journey together, and we have to be able to help till freedom. And the last thing I want to share before we close out, I keep talking about till freedom. Well, Tawanda, what is till freedom? Till freedom is our campaign that we're talking and sharing with the world that we want to be able to stand in solidarity with men and women that's incarcerated and help them to learn better ways to do things, to identify more resources, to become better men and women while they're in prison. And we want to stick with them until they're free, until they're free. And we want to encourage them that when you get free, grab the hand of somebody that you left behind and you stick with
somebody
them until they're free.
Yes.
You understand what I'm saying? We got to. There's so many men in prison and women that's been left for dead. They have nobody. If you go to the women prisons, you see nothing but mamas and sometimes the kids. You know, and most people say, well, you know what? I wasn't with him when he was committing the crime. He wouldn't give me none of that money. Or what? People make mistakes, and people fall short.
Mm-hmm.
But till freedom. Let's let these men and women know someone loves them, someone cares about them. Some of the worst times in the world for people in prison is right now, the holidays, Thanksgiving,
yes.
Christmas. They call home, people don't even answer the phone. People are out shopping, spending thousands of dollars, but can't even send them $25. And I know after 20 years, 30 years, people don't have money. And guess what? Everything in prison costs. Everything costs.
Mm-hmm.
Soap costs. They go to store every single week. Everything costs. Some people, some families spend hundreds of dollars every month and thousands each year sent to the prison. And guess what? The price is going up. It's a bill.
Mm-hmm.
So, again, what are the solutions? What are the opportunities? What are the options? We want to start the conversation, ladies. I appreciate you for dialing in to the show today. I'm going to give you a call so we can kind of talk offline and develop our strategies and plans. We'll talk about the dates. We're going to be in Georgia. We're going to be in D.C., and we're going to keep the conversation going and let your loved one know that they're not alone. You have them. They have you, and then you can have a slew of other people that's going to be supporting you as we continue to move forward. Does that make sense?
Yes, thank you.
Thank you for investing the time to actually dial in. And, again, I'm going to give you a call so we can talk about it. This is Tawanda, everyone with Take 411, and we're here to help bridge the gap between people in prison with their family, friends, and people in the community. Until the next time.
Thank you for tuning in to Take 411. Don't ever say that you are not in the right place at the right time. Until next time, stay connected.